well, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11, even unto the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer. 5 verse 10, we are fools. Who's he referring to there? Who's the we referred to there? Anna?
This is reference to the apostles.
Yeah, the apostles, Paul and the apostles. And what does it say about him? What are they called? And why are they called it? Any hands on that? What do they call these apostles and why? Yes, Anna.
They're fools.
They're called fools and why? Yes, Anna.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. So if people call us fools because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't agree with us, maybe they'll call us fools too. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment so we'll be sure you can hear us there on the internet. All right. That's in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. Now, what do they say the apostles are? What is their structure? Hi, Faith, come in. You sit there, yes. Okay, what does it say about the apostles? What is their status? What is their status of the apostles in verse 10? What do they say they are? Bill?
They're weak.
They're weak compared to the others. Ye, who's the ye referred to then? Who's the ye referred to in verse number 10? We, the apostles, are weak, but ye, who would that be? Those who are listening to them, maybe not apostles. What are they? What's their status? They're supposed to be in church, but they're supposed to be there strong. They're strong. Alright, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, Evan and Faith.
Okay.
And we're chapter number 4, and we just finished verse 10. 1 Corinthians 4, 10. And then also in verse 10, the last part of verse 10, ye, those who are listening, what? What are they called? Hands on that. Honorable, but we, the apostles, are what?
Despised.
Now, why do you think this is, that the apostles are despised and weak, and those that they're listening to are honorable? Yep. Bill?
Because the apostles are speaking out, that's why they're
all right, they're speaking out, that's why they despise. 1 Corinthians 4, now in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 4, 11. See where that is, Evan? 1 Corinthians 4, 11. Yeah, 4, 11. Now, under this very present hour, what is true of the apostles, the we, in verse number 11? What is true of them? Anna? Oh, okay.
Verse 11.
They're hungry and thirst, and they're naked. And what else?
They're
buffeted. See,
they didn't
have a place to stay. And they had no certain dwelling place. All these things are true of the apostles. They're just running from house to house and city to city and street to street. And not much food to eat. Not much water to drink. And naked, that is, they don't have a lot of lovely clothes, but they have very few clothes. And buffeted, what does buffeted mean? Any hands on that? What does buffeted mean?
Something like the someone.
Yes, and hit them. See, hitting them. And buffeted means hit them and smash them. And they don't like the apostles at all. And what's the last thing about verse 11 that these apostles do not have?
No.
Yes, Anna.
They don't know where to go.
Don't know where they're going. No certain dwelling place. Just think, we ought to be thankful that we have a certain dwelling place, even though it's small or large, whatever it is. We know where we're supposed to go. We know the place to stay, and we stay there.
Yes. It's a leaky trailer, right?
And even if it's a leaky
trailer.
That's true, Faith. That's true. That's absolutely true. So that's verses 10, 11, then in verse 12. What is up? Yes, Anna, go ahead.
There's a whole bunch of uncertainty in their lives.
Yes.
They didn't know what they were going to do, what they were going to eat necessarily, what they were going to have. And then they sometimes we might have some uncertainty in our lives, but it might not be.
Yeah.
It, a lot of times it's not to this extent.
Right.
So as God prepares the process, then He'll take care of us.
That's good. Bill? Would you go around there and turn that fan off for me, please? Thank you. Yeah, I should usually turn it off. I forgot to turn it off. That makes a lot of noise. It's hard to hear the hearing people. Pardon me? Well, that one there. Oh, yes. Yeah, but this one here, see, coming in, it interferes with the sound. Yeah, oh, yes. It's very bad. So that's verse 11. Uncertainty and being persecuted. That's what two of the apostles and many genuine Christians today. Persecuted as well. Thank you, Bill. All right. That way, the sound is better for people listening out there. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Tell them you can hear us out there. We tried to make it so we could hear us this afternoon. This morning, we had a problem. Many people, no people could, no persons could hear us that time. Well, let's read verse 12. 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 4, 12, 13, and 14. Starting at verse 12. And labor, working with our hands, our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things like to this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. All right, verse 12. Labor. Let's see, this in 10, 11. Oh, we read 12 before. Now we're on 13, 14. Read 15
now? No, I think we didn't read 12. We read
12, 13,
14 just now.
Oh, just now. Okay, so we're on 12 then. All right. And labor, working with their hands. Do people that labor today always necessarily work with their hands? Any hands on that? Do people always work with their hands who labor today? Pastor Bill.
No, some people work with their mouths. They stand in front of a class.
Yeah, that's right. They teach, that's right.
Some of them stand in front of thousands of people and lie. They're called politicians.
That's right. They lie, absolutely. Anna.
Well, some people, they don't necessarily work with a whole bunch. They expect everything to come to them.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, go ahead.
Are
crossing our borders, invading us, invasion from illegals, bringing diseases of all kinds, making us sick and very bad. What do they do for work, or do they need to do for work? And what does this government give to these illegals that are crossing our borders wrongly? What do we give to them? Freebies. What?
We give them everything.
Everything.
Healthcare.
Free.
Driver's license. Free income,
food, and what are our poor people here? They don't get all that, but the incoming people, they get it.
We need to teach these people to camp out on Nancy Pelosi's lawn.
Yes, make her give her some things. Yeah. So this is a terrible situation, and I read recently that because these people and many people are working, but there are going to be jobs that are going to be cut. You know why they're going to be cut? Because mechanized people are going to come. The mechanized machines are going to take over people's jobs. Thousands of jobs. It's going to happen in about 5 or 10 years. I read that, something like that.
Yeah.
And people will not have any jobs anymore because these mechanized, these machines have faith.
Everywhere you call, it's either a like a type of a machine, you have to leave a message and press all these buttons. You can't even talk to anyone straighten out a problem. No matter where you pull, you know?
Yeah.
It's public service, or no matter where you pull.
Right.
Or else, it's some people's voices that, you know, with these accents, I can't even understand them.
Yes. In foreign countries,
yeah,
accents, that's right. Absolutely. I tried to get some information from the American Airlines. I'm going to fly away on Tuesday night. Bill's going to take us to the airport, take me, and then try to get what gate is going to, when I go there and come back, what gate are we going to come in at? Mm-hmm. I call it, what's a man is on a machine. Said, I want to talk to somebody. So I finally, after two or three times calling American Airlines, I finally got to talk to a person. And then she didn't even know what, because it varies from time to time. She doesn't know what the gate was. So on. But they get everything. And here Paul says, and the missionaries say, we labor, working with our hands. These invaders, and that's what they are, they're invaders. And why do some people in this country want the illegal immigrants to continue to come and take all the money over? Why do they want it? Bill?
They want to tear down the Constitution, for one thing.
Yes.
And that's one of the surest and quickest ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They also want people in competition with each other so nobody's paying attention to what the leaders are doing.
Mm-hmm. What else? They want to, the Democrats want them to take over the whole country as far as voting is concerned. Every one of these they're going to vote for the Democrats, and they're going to be one party. The Republicans are soft, many of them themselves, the same as the Democrats. They don't have the constitutional principles. They're wicked as all get out, and they're against. There are a few Republicans that are standing for the Constitution, one or two Democrats. But once these invaders come in, they're not going to vote for the Constitution. They're going to vote for socialism and communism. That's why they're going to take over our whole country. So, bye-bye, government and the Constitution. Anna.
The problem is, the people, it seems like the people are leaving countries that have socialistic principles. So why would they want them here? It doesn't really make sense to me. What do I know?
Well, that's true, but when they come, they're going to go ahead and vote for the ones that bought them. The ones that want them here are the Democrats.
It's a logical fallacy. If the socialism causes the problems, we wouldn't want to start more.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why the Hollywood crowd is so much into socialism is they want the peasants to be under firm control of the government. They want the freedom for themselves to do what they want and to waste what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I thought your hand was up there. No?
I think he's just fast.
Okay, if he's going to call on it. Fine. So, we'll see what happens. And of course, as I said in an article this morning, they're bringing in all kinds of diseases. Our country is getting filled with disease coming from those invasive people, and we're getting sick altogether. So they labor, working with them. These people coming in aren't going to have to labor. Give them everything. Freebie. And Paul and the apostles labored with their own hands. And then being reviled. What does reviled mean? Any hands on that? What does reviled mean? Faith, you have it.
Reviled. Well, again, like if somebody bothered you or saying mean things about you, maybe?
Yes.
Is that the right thing?
Well, that's what part of it. Part of it, then, reviled, being talked against
right,
and
right.
Being shamefully spoken of. Reviled, what do the apostles do in retaliation of being reviled and spoken down from, spoken against? What do they do? What's the answer in verse 12?
They bless.
See, in other words, it doesn't help to revile back, to be called names back, to be angry back. We just be blessed. That's all we can do. It's hard to do that. And then being persecuted. What does persecuted mean? Any hands on that? Persecuted. What does that mean? Could be bad thing. Could be tortured, persecuted, put in prison, shamefully treated. What happens to the apostles when they're persecuted like that? What do they do? Anna?
They They allow it and endure it.
That's right, suffer and endure. They allow it. Then the being in verse 13, being defamed. What does that mean? He hands on that defamed. He hands on that. Yeah, Anna. Yes, and said many things against him, called names of pigs and angry things, being defamed, just being cursed and terribly things against him. What do the apostles do when they are cursed and defamed? In verse 12, or verse 13. Any hands on that? What do the apostles do? Do they curse him back? What do they do in verse 12, 13? What does that word mean?
They entreat.
Entreat, okay. What does entreat mean?
It says they beseech you for.
Okay, in other words, we're kind to them, even though they defame the apostles and so on. And what are they made in the last part of verse 13? Yeah, Anna.
Going back to the word entreat, it's almost like they're pleading with them to see and understand the truth.
That's good. We plead for them, entreat to them to answer the truth. That's right. And what else? That they are in verse 13. What are they made? And what does it mean? What are they made in the last 5:13?
Offscouring of all things.
Offscouring. Now, thank you. To, what does offscouring mean? What would it mean if you offscour something? Is that something you desire and love and want? Offscouring? Well, that's like, it's like garbage. Offscouring the garbage of all things under this day. Nobody wants offscouring. Yeah, Anna?
Well, it's sort of like if you're refining gold or silver and there's like dross that flows up to the top and mm-hmm. you take that off and you don't want the dross.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're cooking in a deep fryer, let's say, mm-hmm. and perhaps some of the fry
or something have fallen into the fryer and they've been in there for like a while because they weren't in the basket. They fell out of the basket. They're not understanding the fryer now. Now they're quite burnt. So you want to take them out and you don't want to serve them. You want to throw them in the waste bucket. Yes, that's offscouring. That's what the apostles are made like the offscouring. We don't want anything to do with these apostles. Now someone told us, I guess it was Bill today. Want to tell us, Bill, about what some of the groups are saying as far as what not to say concerning things?
There's a bill before the legislature in California that pastors and Christians will not be allowed to say anything at all against homosexuality. Not only that, they're also saying that any person who says that they want to be a Christian and they want to turn away from homosexuality, the pastor is not allowed to counsel them and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is starting in California, and you know that all of the other liberal states are going to follow. It's going to be Massachusetts and Maine and Connecticut and mm-hmm. New York, probably Illinois, and it's going to happen down here, too.
Mm-hmm. Terrible, terrible wickedness. The wickedness of homosexuality being pushed and allowed. Yes, Bill.
The most important thing of all that we forget is that the Constitution was fought for in the Revolutionary War to secure our liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty and freedom are not necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you say freedom, that means all things are equal, which is what the government is tricking people into believing. But liberty means that I have the right to say this. I have the right to believe mm-hmm. that. I also have the right to hire all family members in my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hire somebody outside of my family for my business. That's liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in freedom, they say, well, you have to hire other people because all things are equal and you're denying the free rights of other people.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important distinction that people have to become familiar with.
Yes. Now, as far as the sodomy and homosexuality, the sin of Sodom led to the whole wiping out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God just wiped the whole crowd out, saved just a few people, and that sodomy is now taking over our country. They're on television, they're on radio, and they're pushing themselves. And they're saying, we're wonderful. Look, several of them are running now for President of the United States. One man is, anyhow. He said, oh, others have been sodomites as well before, so that's his excuse. Sin is sin, and God's book has got to be honored, and we've got to continue to preach it and not be stopped by these people out there in the government that says, you can't say that, you can't say this. Don't preach Christ or anything else. Preach against sin and wickedness. So this is true. This is the offscouring of all things this day. It was 12, 13, and 14. We didn't take up 14, did we? What does Paul not write these things to the Corinthians for? Why does he not write them for what cause in verse 14? Although, yes, Bill.
He didn't want to shame or embarrass them. Just in case they weren't aware already.
All right. They could be shamed. They were doing the Corinthians were some of these very same things they're doing, but he didn't write for the purpose of shaming them. But what? What did he write them to? Why did he write them? Why did he write them to the Corinthians? Thank you, Alex.
To warn them.
Now, what does it mean to warn something? To somebody. What does it mean? Bill?
To give them an important message that they need to become aware of.
Alright. And does law people heed warnings?
No.
No, they do not. But it's good to warn somebody. If a big fire is coming, you should get away from the fire. If a big storm is coming, you have to take refuge. And, yeah, Bill?
Another warning is all the garbage that's coming into our government.
Yes.
That's a warning to us.
Absolutely.
Get rid of that garbage.
Exactly. This particular group of people now, many of them in the Congress, many in the Senate, they're socialists and bringing socialism to bear in our country, which is freedom. It's nothing to do with socialism. Individual liberty and individual freedom is what we have, what we've lived for years. That's what we fought for in the Revolutionary War. England wanted to make us slaves. We wanted to be free and libertarians, and so we fought a Revolutionary War. Yeah, Bill.
Many of our politicians and commentators on the radio keep saying that we are a democracy. We are not a democracy.
Oh, that's
we are
right.
A constitutional republic.
Exactly. Questions at bftbc.org or call us at 856-261-9018. We haven't heard from anybody. Does anybody listening to us, is the internet now in function? If you can hear us, simply call us and tell us you can hear us. Because in the morning, nobody can hear us.
We're working on
YouTube as well as sermonaudio.com. Call us at Bible for Today Baptist Church or 856-261-9018. Yvonne.
I just came down from my nap and I realized I left my skirt up.
No, don't go up again. Just sit still and wait till everybody leaves. Wait till everybody leaves and we'll take care of that. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 5, we're in 1 Corinthians 4, and we're in verse now number 14, number 15. Let's read verse 15, 16, and 17. Tammy Wade, maybe she's hearing us. I'm glad somebody's listening to us.
Who? Tammy Wade, my mother.
Oh,
yes, Tammy, go ahead.
Yes, you're
on
your
back.
Oh.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yes, I'm listening.
Good. What are you listening? Is it YouTube or Sermon
Audio? Yes, it's on YouTube.
Oh, good.
On YouTube at lunchtime.
At lunchtime. I'm glad YouTube. So thank you for calling, Tammy. We appreciate it. Have a good wave to Tammy on the way to Texas. Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah.
Yes, hello. Yes, Barbara LeMaster. Can you hear us also? YouTube. Oh, that's good. They just hooked up YouTube for this afternoon. Thank you. Hello, hello.
Hi, Pastor Wade. It's Anne Marie.
Yes, Anne Marie.
And Randy and I are listening to you on YouTube.
On YouTube. Just, They just made YouTube available just a few minutes ago. Can you hear some sermon audio or Bible for today?
We couldn't get it earlier, so we just
keep listening on YouTube. That's right. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that very much.
Okay. Bye.
Well, at least somebody. I'm glad YouTube is back. How'd you get that, Nan?
My father did something.
Okay. I'm very glad because it's very difficult. I'm glad people are listening. That's great. So give us calls and tell us some of the things that we're talking about. All right, now we're going to be in verse 15. Yvonne, did you have something?
Hey, verse 15.
All right, let's go 15, 16, and 17. Let's read that together. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have we not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who all is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's a good verse. Verse 14. Why did Paul say he's writing to them? We already said not to shame them. So verse 15. How many instructors does he say they have in Christ? How many instructors?
One.
Yeah. What does it say?
10,000.
10,000 instructors.
10,000.
But that's right. But how many fathers in the faith that led them to Christ? How many?
Oh, you mean other kinds of instructors?
Yes. How many that led them to Christ?
Not
just absolutely. In Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul led these Christians who are now Christians to the Lord. And so he's their foster father, father in the Lord, that led them to Christ. Then in verse 16, what does beseech mean? Therefore I beseech you. What does that mean?
To
implore, to beg, or to implore and beg. Questions at bftpc.org. Now that I can hear many people going to listen to us, give us a call anytime. I'm glad to hear from you. How many people begot you in the Lord? How many people led you to the Lord and Savior? See, that's the question you want to ask yourself. Whole flock of people, or just maybe one, maybe a pastor, maybe some of your friends. And Paul led these people to the Lord in Christ. Many fathers, they have not yet many fathers. In Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. What does begotten mean? Any hands on that? What does begotten mean? Fine.
I didn't mean born.
Being born, that's right, made to be born, begotten. And in Christ, Paul has led them to the Lord. And so, in verse 16, because he led them to the Lord, what does he say they should do, these Christians at Corinth? Bill?
Follow Paul.
Follow his teachings. Because he led them to the Lord, he wants to be in the right teaching. Were there other people that lead people astray when Paul was writing this?
Absolutely.
All kinds of people. False teachers. Are there people that lead people astray today?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. False teachers. Yeah, Bill?
Yeah, even in Paul's day, there were Gnostics around then, too.
Yes, they were. False teachers, Gnostics, unbelievers, like moderate apostates today.
Just David Boone.
Was it?
David Boone.
Like modernist apostates today lead people astray. Churches are filled with false teachers. Every church in this city, whether it's Lutheran or Baptist or Roman Catholic, there are many of them. They teach falsehoods against the Bible. They're false teachers and apostates. Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, even in those days, Israel and Egypt and different places throughout the Middle East, they were trading with people from the Far East, from India and China and Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting information from them about yoga and Buddhism and mm-hmm. all of that. Those were the Gnostics.
Yes. And we've got to stick to the Scriptures, the Word of God, and follow the Scriptures, not teachers that are false. And every time you go into a church and they teach the falseness, for instance, the Lord Jesus Christ was not God. He was just a man. Leave that church. Get away from them. People that teach in the churches that we are all good people. No, that's false. Leave that church. We're sinners. God says we're sinners, we're lost and bound for hell. Those that deny there is such a thing as hell. Leave that church. Leave that apostate, whatever it is. False teachers are bad indeed. Then in verse 17, for this cause, what did Paul do? For this cause, yeah, Bill.
He sent
sent Timotheus, his son.
Von.
I'm sorry.
What did Paul do, Bill, again? People were talking, they didn't hear.
He sent Timotheus.
Now, who was Timotheus? What's another name for Timotheus? What's another name?
Timothy,
that's right. And he was a good teacher. In fact, he was the pastor of the church there at Ephesus, and Paul wrote to him, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. He was a good teacher, and he sent Timotheus. What is Timotheus to Paul? What does he call him here?
Beloved son.
His beloved. In what way was Timothy Paul's beloved son?
Spiritual.
Led them to the Lord, and he loved Timothy, beloved son. And what else was Timothy? Any hands on that? In addition to Paul's beloved son, Anna.
He was a pastor of
the church. Pastor of the church. What else in verse 17 was he? That's true. He was a pastor of the church at Ephesus. What else in verse 17? Yeah, Anna?
He's faithful in the Lord.
Faithful in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to be faithful in the Lord? Can you be faithful in the Lord today?
Mm-hmm.
You can today. How can you be faithful in the Lord today? Bill?
Read the scriptures and obey them.
Read and obey and follow. That's right. Questions at dftbc.org, 856-261, 9018. I'm glad many people are listening to us on, what was the name of that thing?
YouTube.
And they couldn't hear us in the morning, but please give us a call and come and say hello again. We're glad to hear from you. And have some comments to us as well if you can. 856-261-9018. Or questions at bftbc.org. So in verse 17, Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul. He was his son in the Lord and beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now what will Timothy be able to do to these Corinthians here in verse number 17? What will Timothy be able to do for the Corinthians? Any hands on that? Yeah, Bill.
Yeah, he would teach them salvation by grace.
Von. He would teach them salvation by grace,
yes,
and all the things, the ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So, what was Timothy in regard to Paul as far as his teaching and the teaching subjects that Timothy was to teach? What was Timothy to teach, and how did he get the teaching, the words to teach them? In verse 17.
Chapter 4, verse 17,
that's right. So, what was Timothy to teach people? Yeah, Bill.
In Paul's ways.
Oh, in Paul's way, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy's going to follow Paul and is teaching the truth of the Scriptures, and Paul is commending Timothy for that. My son, Timothy, the one you led to the Lord. Now, are all people that you lead to the Lord necessarily true to the Scriptures?
No.
They go away some other way. They go to some other church or denomination, another Bible version. Some of these heretical Bible versions are very serious in error, all kinds of errors. And they don't follow the Lord. But Timothy followed the Lord. That's why Paul wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. It was the last letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy. He wrote to Timothy because he was ready to go and be killed for his faith in Christ. Well, let's read verses 18, 19, 20, in fact, 21 as well. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, in the spirit of meekness? Verse 18. Paul is saying something about people. What are some people that Paul says? What does he say about some people? And what does it mean? Verse 18. What does it say about some people, and what does it mean? And are you one of them? What does Paul say in verse 18 about some people? Anna?
They're puffed up.
What does that mean?
Why, they're sort of
They think they know a thing. They think they know something.
All right.
They think that Paul isn't going to come. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know, they're overly confident in themselves or something.
All right. Are people today that you know, maybe even Christians, puffed up? Bill?
Yeah. Basically, it's ego you're talking about.
All right.
Some people are very egotistical. And there are a lot of people in many professions that, especially orchestral conductors, I'm familiar with many of them. And many of them have huge egos. They think they know a lot. Their problem is that they don't have much competition.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many people that pursue that field, so they think that they're special.
What is an egomaniac?
Someone who's deluded and believes that they are as great as they think they are.
All right. And some of these conductors are about that thing. So in verse 18, puffed up, egomaniac, and people have pride. I know this, I know that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm big and big and big, and you're little and tiny. See, that's a terrible thing. They brag. You've heard of braggadocious people, bragging all the time. I did this, I did that, I did the other. We used to be humble as believers. Did the Lord Jesus brag when he was on this earth?
No,
he was humble. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man, perfect God, perfect man. And they crucified the Lord of glory. It's sad indeed. But 18, puffed up as though I would not come to you. Now, some of them apparently believed that Paul wasn't going to come to Corinth. Why did they think that he wasn't going to come, do you think? Why did some think, Anna?
Well, maybe it's just sort of alluding to the next chapter, like they were boring in the sin. In verse 2, ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned.
Uh-huh.
That he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you.
All right.
They thought they were turning a blind eye to all the sin
mm-hmm.
that was there in the church.
That's right. That's good. Then in verse 19, what does Paul say about coming to Corinth? Verse 19, any hands on that? What does Paul say, Anna?
Well, Lord willing, he will be coming soon.
Yes. Shortly, if the Lord will. That's a good phrase. What does it mean, if the Lord will? What is it? It could be, but what else might it be, if the Lord will? To do what? Is that good to say?
Yes.
Is that all right, Evan? Okay. Why, Anna?
Well, maybe it's a sense it was leading. Like, you know, in verse 11, we even had this present now, we both hunger and thirst, and our naked, and our buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, the apostles didn't know really whether they were going to stay or whether they'd be
right.
And so sometimes we might have these plans, and so Paul was planning to come to Corinth, but there could have been something else that came up.
Yes.
They wouldn't be able to come.
Right.
So,
Now, speaking of no certain dwelling place, many of us have a dwelling place, but how certain is that in these times in which we live? What might happen in a matter of months, a matter of years? Decades, Bob?
Death.
Could be death. What else? Anna?
Well, there could be a flood or a tornado or fire or other weather.
And many of those things are happening now, aren't they? Different places. Yeah, Bill.
If you fall behind on your taxes, the government can confiscate your property.
Confiscate your property, absolutely. And crooks could come, and so on. Different ones could come and take over. And take rid of our, get us, clean us out of our house, and or burn it down or something. We're in a troubled situation. All these people that are coming in from invaders, an invasion from these immigrants, that have no business being here. They're not waiting in line like many legitimate immigrants, getting things together and then coming in properly. They're improper. Just like somebody to come into your house and break down the door and just jam in. That's what these guys are doing as the false and fake immigrants. And we don't know when that's going to stop. Are the immigrants, as far as the history, are they very fine and great and wonderful and righteous or unrighteous as they come, generally speaking, immigrants all over the world? Have they ever done anything wrong? Have they killed people? Yes, Anna.
I think the state of humans in general is not necessarily righteousness. In general, I think all humans have a sin nature and are capable of sin.
That's right. And so we have a lot of problems.
Whether they were here or whether they're coming here or
mm-hmm.
how they got here.
Now, remember M13. What is M13?
MS-13.
What are they? MS-13. Any hands on that?
It's some type of gang.
They're outlaws. They're crooks. They're horrible people. And some of these immigrants are MS-13 immigrants. They're coming in, and they're not going to come here just to be kind and wonderful. They're coming here to kill, to rape, to plunder, to steal, to do all kinds of mischievous things, evil things. And our government is letting him come in. And our president, that's the thing. He said, I'm going to stop this. Stop it. He's a liar when it comes to stopping immigrants. He's not stopping him at all. More immigrants come in are Trump than came over other people. He says one thing, but doesn't do it. And that's what kind of president we have. I'm all for what Trump says. Wonderful things. But what he doesn't do, I'm totally opposed. Somebody that says one thing and does another, I have no patience with whatsoever. And people say, well, he's this and that. He's under the thumb of the people that are in banks and ruling. Jacob Brum, let me see if I got him in time. Yes, Jacob, right ahead.
This is Dale.
Oh, Dale, right there.
Yeah, we're all listening by phone.
Good.
Rob sent me that, whatever you call it, but
you too.
Anyway, we're all listening by phone.
Thank you.
Jacob, me, and Barbara, you too.
Great. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that YouTube is finally working. I hope next week...
Well,
next
this week, is on my phone. Yeah.
On the phone, yeah, but he gets us through the YouTube. So we couldn't come out at all this morning. We tried to turn on audio, and that doesn't work. Pastor Dan finally hooked up YouTube. He took YouTube to the Dean Morgan Society meeting and left us high and dry. But now he's found us, so we got YouTube.
What?
Glad you called, Dale. We appreciate that very much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
hold on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She's an okie-dokie lady. I like that. She's an okie-dokie lady. All right. So, many of these people are coming in that are crooks and gangsters and MS-13 people. Horrible. Not all, but many of them are going through. They don't stop them. That was verse 18. That's what I come to. And you come shortly, verse 19. And if the Lord will, now, and you will know what? What will the Corinthians know from Paul when he comes there shortly? In verse 18, the last of 19, rather, the last part of verse 19. What will they find out about Paul when he comes to Corinth? Any hands on that? Any hands on that? Nobody knows?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
What will they find out about Paul when he comes to them in verse 19, the last part of verse 19?
Well,
yes, Anna.
He's not going to come with proud speech, but there's going to be the power of God. I think that's probably, well, I'm not sure. I'm going to look it up to find out that Dunamis or Exousia.
Okay. For power, okay. Dunamis or Exousia. Power. But, all right. You'll not know Paul is puffed up and egotistical. Powerful in the Lord. You'll see this in him, in verse 19. Find it?
I'm almost there.
Okay.
Dunamis.
Dunamis.
So he's not coming with some superficial cry, but he's coming with power. It's Dunamis.
Yes.
With power, because he's coming with the Lord behind him, and not just air, hot air.
Yes.
Which is you're puffed up. You're a sort of covered fish, which is filled up with air.
Yes.
And so it's not really as big as it seems, but power, it's supposed to probably be something behind that.
Yes, what English word do we get from that Greek word dunamis?
Dynamite.
That's power, that's for sure. You're going to come with power. And then in verse 20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God, powerful, the Holy Spirit of God, helps those of us who are in the Christian faith to live for Him. Then in verse 21, he asks a question. What is the question that he asks in verse 21? What did he ask the Corinthians in verse 21? 421. Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Glad people are listening on this Bible study. Couldn't get the morning service, but maybe you'll get it when it's repeated. We'll see what happens. What should I come to? With a rod. What is a rod? And what is the rod used for? If it's proper or improper, are there proper rods and improper rods?
Yeah.
Proper use and improper use? Yeah, okay. So what would be a proper use of the rod, as it says in the book of Proverbs? Anna?
We have sheep, you have the rod and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure the sheep go where they're supposed to, because mm-hmm. if they wander off where they're not supposed to, they can fall
yes.
off a cliff and get hurt or something.
Right, my wife and I are reading the book of Proverbs for many days now. One of the Proverbs is, withhold not correction from a child, for the rod of correction shall instruct him. There's uses, the proper uses of rods of discipline for our children, lest they go astray. And so shall I come to you with a rod? Now sometimes rods are improperly used. We're talking about proper use. He's saying, am I coming to a rod or in love? What does rod mean in this case in verse number 21? Should I come to you with a rod or in love in the spirit of meekness? What is a rod used for properly?
Discipline.
Proper discipline. And I've always said to my, now we might use a rod, we use our hands and spanking and different things, but always say in discipline, the father or the mother, as the case may be, should discipline their children only when they need it. Now some don't need it, then don't discipline. Only, but the next thing I always say, but always when they need it. Don't miss a trick. Only when they, but always discipline when they need it. And the third thing I always say, always discipline in the proper manner, the proper way. Never discipline out of the propriety of discipline. So should I come with a rod or in love and spirit of meekness? What do you think their answer should be in there? What do you think the answer should be or would be and is? Paul asked it, Anna.
Well, I suppose the last
yes. See, he doesn't want to discipline them. See, people, in fact, our children sometimes don't even appreciate the discipline we give them in love and meekness. But I remember our son, Dick. We call him Richard, but his name is Dick. We always have our children's names beginning with D. Don, Dave, Dick, Dan was 4. And then David. At 5. But anyway, I remember, I've said this many times, but little Dickie, Richard, he was only about 3 or 4, I forget how old he was.
Was he much younger?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was much younger.
Well, I think he's about 3, maybe 2. Anyhow, I just finished disciplining him, and he was out in the yard, and his little face, little blonde haired boy he was, very good boy, and he's crying, and I said, well, Dick, why does Dad punish you? He said, because he loves me. That's why I love you, Dad, punish you, because I need it. And he understood that, see, but A lot of children don't read it. And you wait too long to discipline your children. That's too bad. That's too late. Start in early. And then keep going. And honest. And love because you love them. That's why you discipline. And right today, he was a preacher and a pastor for many years. But he grew up in the things of the Lord. And he was proper. And he's proper today. And he loves his grandmother as well. His mother, rather. His mother loves his grandmother as well. But and he's coming. He and Lorraine are coming tonight at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. To take care of their mother, my wife. I'm going to be going to Dean Burgess Society Tuesday evening, and she'll be alone. Instead of being alone, our daughter Lorraine and our